Morning, morning, boys.
Nick Lack.
Lucky, how are you?
Very well. I had the pleasure and privilege of working with Mrs. Carruthers yesterday for the first time.
Is that right?
We did a little filming together. It was a whirlwind experience.
Was it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. And it's good to be here.
It's good to see you.
I'm here with my good friend and colleague from back home, Gina Bryce, who's working with Scott on the Players Show this year for TVG.
Oh, so fabulous.
I think this is your... It's not your first time at TVG, at Santa Anita, is it?
First time working came about 10 years ago now, I think it was, when Zenyatta was still running.
So that
was a good year to come. I think she won the distaff that year, so I missed her agonizing defeat. But yeah, great to be back. I mean, what a place. I'm kind of standing here thinking, why do I not live here? why do I live in the UK where it's rainy and cold and wet?
I try to live here as much as I possibly can.
Well, you've been stateside a ton in the last several months.
Yeah, Scott and I were comparing notes as to how many days spent away from home this year.
I think I've got you beaten by
you were well up somewhere nearly 200. I think I got to about 120.
Yeah, 6 months for me this year.
My very long suffering wife is just that.
If you need a personal assistant, I'm happy to come along, make the tea, the coffee, whatever. I'd say it's a pretty good gig you've got going on out here.
Well, on a day like today, looking over the mountains, perfect temperature, top-class horses cantering past you, all is well with the world.
Now, and ideally, from here on in, the next 72 hours through Saturday night, get them all around safe and make this the idyllic session that it should be. From our lips to God's ears, as we say. I wanted also you two to the Dubai experience, right? The last several years, the international feed.
Well,
I've
been lucky enough to work with Scott at Royal Ascot, so Gina as well. Gina and I and Scott all worked on the same Royal Ascot show. Now Scott comes over and does a great job for TVG as well. Then Dubai, you know, worked in Dubai together on that show, so... Yeah.
Yeah, the Dubai trips have been great. I mean,
get rid of me.
Yeah. and to be honest with you, our first encounter, we have this connection. Our first encounter, which too bad Pin Kai's not here for this story because we were all together, was the 2007 Breeders' Cup at Monmouth Park. It was my first big remote for HRTV. Was it your first go at
it? I think
it
was my second show for ESPN. Yeah, and it was Lafitte was doing the Winner's Circle presentations for
ESPN.
And that
was his first ESPN show, and we somehow, not surprisingly, found each other and managed to hang out more than a few times over the course of that week.
It was often a bleak experience that week.
Well, Saturday and Sunday, but Friday and Saturday, but...
You know, we're not talking about the weather, though.
You guys were...
Well, the rain was what I call crying baby rain. You think... Naturally, it has to stop at some point, but it never does.
Yeah, yeah.
No danger of that this week.
No, that was as frustrating a scenario as you're ever going to have around a racetrack. It was gorgeous every single day.
But I got to meet Scott Hazelton and Lafitte Pinkeye III.
How funny!
So I was blessed,
and we've not looked back since. 12 years later, here we are.
I was there broadcasting. For me, that was actually my first. That was the first season of the show when I was alone. It was 2007, and broadcasting from John Himes' office, that compound there. And the show was 4 o'clock at that time, 4 to 7. So I was there all day, and I basically ended up answering phones and helping people with tickets. And
really,
that was how I spent the days. That's one of my fondest memories. Let's get some thoughts. And Nick, I always rely on you for international purposes. However, you've been covering all the lead ups, so you know your opinions can go far beyond the Euros. But from an introductory standpoint, some of the horses this year that are kind of new, and of course we had. Kind of not a bait and switch, but Magical ended up disappearing at the last minute.
Yeah, it was frustrating because she was really the star name. She'd have been the marquee name if she'd been here, given how well she ran last year and the season she's had, and she won on Champions Day and Irish Champions Weekend. But she's not, so on we go. And there isn't that sort of star name, if you like, to hang the European Challenge on, but it's got some depth, and there are plenty of horses who are legitimate. I think probably the most interesting pair of horses is Old Persian and Anthony Van Dyke, to see whether they can lay it down to bricks and mortar on the turf in the mile and a half race, and whether they can expose any shortcomings in bricks and mortar stamina. I don't know if you saw the clip on Twitter of me accosting Chad yesterday. It was a good-natured exchange. I said, am I overcomplicating it? He said, you always overcomplicate everything. I think the inference I was supposed to draw was that bricks and mortar was just a good horse, and I think he'd be, you know, impervious to distance. But I think there's a deal of confidence in the Ballydoyle camp that Anthony Van Dyke can step up. Yeah, I think he'll have to step up a bit, even though he's won a Derby and finished third in an Irish Champion Stakes. I think he needs another little step forward, but they seem to think he's had the perfect preparation, and he's by no means an afterthought. They've had this race lined up for him since the middle of the summer.
That always, you know, when we get to this juncture, very often we've talked about horses that at the last second they said, oh, let's just go, and those horses invariably don't run well.
Exactly. So it's great that he's here. Aiden's got a great record in the race. He's probably comparable to one or two of his winners at an equivalent stage of their career. So he's legitimate, and I can't see him finishing out of the front pair, really. I said to Michelle when I was chatting to her yesterday on the TVG breakfast show, and I'll say it again, if Old Persian doesn't get any love from the bettors, he's probably worth betting, because on his form from York last year and his form from Maidan earlier this year, a mile and a half on firm turf, he's a very good horse. But he does need to take a leap forward from the Canadian run, which was just okay, even though he won.
He earned a triple-digit buyer, though, did he not? A 100
buyer? He can run fast, but just there wasn't much depth to the race.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
The horse that I want to bring up, too, is this Alunac, the Vildemar Hicks runner, because if Desert Encounter doesn't make that spectacular run at Woodbine, doesn't he show up here with a little bit of a little?
I'm chairman of the Desert Encounter fan club, but only a really ardent admirer of his exploits would think he would have any kind of a shot in a Breeders' Cup turf.
All right.
So I think he's a show player, Alunac, maybe. He's an honest horse who has proven that he's effective in North America. But I think that's about as bold a case as I could make.
Fair enough. And you, Gina, you sort of perked up at the mention of his name.
Well, no.
No? All right. The opposite?
I'd actually agree with Nick on the Breeders' Cup turf, but I just saw Simon Crisford's runner go past this morning, Ayali, who runs in the turf sprint on the Friday. I think that's pretty, I mean, I know it's a bit of a lottery, that race, and they're coming down the hill, and you want to get a good break and be drawn well and get on with proceedings, but the Europeans are quite well drawn in that race. There seems to be quite a few in with chances. Ayali is one that's really sort of stamped his authority on the 5-furlong sprint division at home.
He's a nice little horse, isn't he?
And small little horse, actually, when you see him go past. He's not going to take the eye, really, but I think he could be quite interesting, and he's in a good spot there. Archie Watson does really well with his juveniles. He's bringing over a runner in band practice, who I think's been drawn in two, so you'd expect her to be sharp and out, and another one with a chance, but I think the juveniles are sometimes the races that the Europeans can occasionally pinch on the turf, and there's a few interesting ones this year.
But don't you think, lucky though, that with it being, I shouldn't say different this year, because this is only the second year of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint.
Yeah, they had it, but they didn't. It wasn't consecrated until last year, was it? Exactly. It was a race on the undercard,
exactly.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
But having it around the bend, I think that the Wesley horses have the advantage with their speed. They break out of the gate, they get that position on the turn, and then it's game over. It's not what the Europeans are used to.
I think Kimari will win if she breaks.
She's
and that's
a good
the if. I know that's the if. I honestly think she's if she couldn't, you know, it took her all of Keeneland. Didn't it? It took her all of the stretch at Keeneland, and they're not going to come back here, I don't think. We saw last year Pletcher's horse just came out and just blasted them all apart.
That was a different type of turf, of course.
It was, I guess.
Day, right?
But I don't know. I think she wins if she breaks.
Yeah.
Looks a good chance as
four-wheel
well.
Four-wheel drive.
But, yeah, it's interesting they've taken Ayali to Wolverhampton to try and train him round the bend and get used to that. Because, you know, they as you say, they are going to encounter different conditions today, on Friday, and they've only been running on the straight turf 5 furlongs. They've had to practice changing legs and getting out quickly and coming around a bend.
If you were, there's one thing that unites, say, a horse like Ayali in the juvenile turf sprint and a horse like Anthony Van Dyck in the turf, is that this fixture has been on the top of their agenda since the summer. So you're talking about horses who have been specifically targeted at the Breeders' Cup. There's two. Daya would be another one in the long race for fillies on the turf, the two-year-old long race on the turf. Now, Roger Varian, before she even won in or finished second in Ireland in the Moygler, he was saying, I want to go to California with her. And he's had some success with horses finishing placed in Breeders' Cup races before. So there are three horses who have been specifically targeted at this fixture right from the word go this year.
I got to ask you about a trainer, actually, that has got one in on Saturday, one in on Friday, including in the juvenile turf sprint. James Tate, Gammon on Saturday in the mile.
Yep.
Frankie Dottorion.
There you go. And then in the sprint, I'm going to forget the baby.
His runner in the...
Another miracle. A dream shot.
Dream
sorry.
Shot. Yeah, yeah. Another miracle's Contessa.
That's right. Dream shot. Who I actually saw
go
past
this
morning.
Who will not be mistaken for a European horse.
No. If it wins, we'll take it. No, I saw Dream Shot. A lot bigger model than Ayali actually go past this morning. And James Tate's had a fabulous season at home. He's continued to go from strength to strength. He trains a lot for the royal families in Dubai for Rabah Bloodstock, and he has some good ammunition to go to war with. And again, he's not a trainer that makes entries sort of on the cusp, if you like. He would have had these plans in mind, I imagine, for this horse for some time and mapped it out well in advance.
Well, put it this way, he's not the sort of trainer who's coming here to make an impression. He's not showy, he's not very demonstrative, is he? He's a pretty straight shooter. He's not someone who wants to be the big he's not here to be the big I am. Just to get horses on the plane. He doesn't actually get that much press, considering how well he's done this year. He's had a ton of winners and load of pattern race horses, and he doesn't really seek the limelight.
No, it's very true, and he persistently has runners in big races, doesn't he? Often, you know, outrunning their odds. They're often very overpriced, and you know, I think he sort of falls victim to finishing second in a lot of big races. A lot of the, you know, Hay Gammons and those horses are persistently running well at the top level, but maybe just not getting that kind of multiple Group One flag bearer, if you like.
Hay Gammons, probably his best run this season was when he split Romanized and Safe Voyage in Ireland, and Romanized went on and was, you know, we know about the run in France against Circus Maximus, and Safe Voyage came out and finished third in the QE2 at Ascot. So on that form, in an open mile, he's not hopeless, especially with Dottorion, but he's got post 13, so that's not going to be... I think it's 13, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the 13.
So he'll have to do a Jerry Bailey Six Perfections number if he's going to win from there.
We were talking about Six Perfections product earlier, just... not long ago.
Mount Everest.
And I threw a proposition, actually, at Kelly Riley earlier, saying, what's the chances of Mount Everest finishing ahead of Anthony Van Dyck?
It's sort of one of those horses that you want to try and be clever and make a case for, because most people haven't heard of him. And his two-year-old form would entitle him to be close, because he ran up the back of Japan, who's arguably the best three-year-old in Europe at the moment. So... yeah, that makes you interested, but I just haven't seen quite enough in the comeback runs to think he can win a Breeders' Cup turf.
Why would a horse that regally bred,
yeah,
why would you bring that horse? You're not
because,
bringing him
well,
to embarrass him.
You've answered your own question, because he's by Galileo out of Six Perfections. He's owned by the Niarchos family, or co-owned by the Niarchos family. Oh, how many winners have they had at Breeders' Cups? They're all here. They want, you know, they've got Albania, they've got Circus Maximus.
Maybe they needed a table in the dining room.
you reckon they might give us
free lunch?
I love it. Let's talk about let's talk about the mile on a more detailed basis. You bring up Circus Maximus. You got the two fillies, the filly and the mare, Uni and Got Stormy. This is a fun mile. It's got it's got everything but pace.
I think Uni's the sort of logical choice. I was pretty impressed with her at Keeneland. I think furiously run mile on very fast ground is upper street. That turf track was quick.
To make up ground.
Full stars weekend.
Yeah.
And for her to do what she did, I thought that was good effort.
Yeah, she would have beat the boys in the Shadwell if she runs in there.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think anybody's going to confuse Bowie Zero as a serious contender in this race. And you look at Diamond.
It's not what Eric Johnson told me.
Sorry?
It's not what Eric Johnson told me.
I'll take your word for that. But as far as, looking at Diamond Oops, I mean, he almost won the race, and he's not even a turf horse. He's not even going to run in the mile. He's going to run in the dirt mile. I think that sums up the Shadwell at Keeneland.
He could have run in three different races, dirt mile, turf mile, or sprint. He's a fascinating horse.
But, I mean, you'd rather take on Omaha Beach, or would you rather take on a fairly wide-open turf? I think it just speaks to what the Shadwell was that day and not trying to downplay race.
That's fair.
Funnily enough, are the horses that come out of the Shadwell mile?
LeCoulin.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Swedwa come out the best again. I know he's 105 now, and he's run about as many times, but he gets Velasquez, which intrigues me a little bit. I think from one as well, I don't think he can take right back, so I think he's going to have to be a bit further forward than he normally is. And there's no reason why he shouldn't be. He's a horse who's got some 7 furlong speed still at his age. I think if he sat two-thirds of the way back rather than right out the back, if he was able to,
interesting,
and the pace is as furious as we think it's going to be, I think he can get a bit of the action late.
He's going to be...
I can't quite see him winning, but I tried to fashion this case when I was chatting to Ryan Moore yesterday, and he wasn't convinced. But I think he's kind of an interesting runner.
Interesting.
Danny Tudhope's chosen to ride the other horse, though, Space Traveller. He could have ridden Swedwire. He's riding Space Traveller. Would you give Space Traveller any shot, Gina?
Yeah, I quite liked your argument for Swedwire. I was thinking exactly the same when I was looking at it. He's done, obviously, his age is a question mark, but he didn't disgrace himself last time. And he's David O'Mara has done very well with the international runners that he has taken abroad. He's won Mile Keeneland, he's won Arlington Million in the past. He's a very targeted trainer. He's got Lord Glitters in the field as well, who...
Spencer ends up on
Lord Glitters.
On Lord Glitters.
You can never rule out old Lord Glitters because he pops up when he's not expected to, like in the Queen Anne this year at Royal Ascot. But it's hard to see him. It's hard to see things falling in his favour here.
Ground's going to be too quick, isn't it, for Lord Glitters?
Ground too quick. All happen a bit too fast for him. He likes to come
very talented.
Come late with his run. But yeah, I could see Swedwire stealing out from stall one and being in the mix.
Lord Glitters, interestingly, he's owned by Jeff and Sandra Turnbull, who had Mondi Elise, who ran so well in this, and had run so well in Woodbine. So I think they're keen to, and from the same source as well, similar type of horse, well-bred horse from France, who a big ownership group wanted to move on, and they went in and they've done really well with him and ended up winning a Group 1. So he's a fine advert for the trainer's skills.
One of the things that happens in the pre-entry to entry period, horses get immediately dismissed mentally and then pop into the field without parole, who has been on the side of milk cartons for a year. There's some people making cases for without parole under Chad's care the last 6, 7, 8 weeks.
So ex Gosden, Royal Ascot winner as a 3-year-old when he was still undefeated when taking the St. James's Palace Stakes, had a little bit of a spell in the wilderness, moves to the best turf trainer North America has had in the modern era, and the man who specializes in winning Breeders' Cup races for fun. It's not hard to see why people are interested, but if you didn't know who trained him and you looked at his numbers this year and his form this year, you wouldn't be terribly interested, would you?
No, but those are provisos.
Who's making the case for him? Who are these folks?
I think Brad Free
really
picked him third, and Kelly Riley brought him up. Seems to be working better or well, and he's been training with bricks and mortar.
Well. I guess bricks and mortar's got to work with something.
They've got a practice squad. NFL teams have practice squads.
That's true,
too, right? They do.
Well, he's been called up from the practice squad then.
I mean, Justify had a horse that he worked with all the time that couldn't win a race, couldn't win a maiden race.
That's fair. I wouldn't argue that.
Not to jump on you, Big.
No, that's fine.
I'm gonna pin down John and Tanya Gunter and see what the deal is.
They were upset that they didn't get drawn into the race initially. I mean, there were some angry Twitter volleys from the Gunthers.
And I think that's unfair, and I love the Gunthers. I spent a wonderful afternoon with them in the lead up to the Kentucky Derby when Justify and Vino Rosso were in it. But I mean, you look at this horse's form. But how could you be upset that you weren't in the field initially?
And they do their best. You know, the handicapping panel does their best. They're entirely impartial, and they have to do what they have to do. And it's not about how much money you've won, and it's not about how many races you've won. It's about an ounces assessment of your current merit.
And it's not 2018 form.
It could be 2018 form if he hadn't had X many runs since he won at Royal Ascot. And the evidence is that he's declined. Now, we all know that a trainer can get a horse back to his optimum.
Two questions. Another personnel question. KP Condon.
Ken Condon.
Ken Condon.
Nice man, good trainer. Has done very well with Romanized, Success Days. Trey Fleur runs in the same colors. Again, punches above his weight. I can't quite see it myself, but
I'm just curious about him. His name. He had a couple of other horses under consideration, and I didn't know anything about him.
Yeah. Those are the three horses he's done best with, and he's won an Irish Classic, won an Irish Guineas. It's pretty difficult as a trainer in Ireland if your name's not O'Brien, either Joseph or Aidan, to really make a mark at a high level, and he's done so. So fair play to him.
Let's turn our attention to the filly and mare turf, because there's several things in here that I'm intrigued about. You talked about who you were impressed with at Keeneland. I'll tell you who I was impressed with in that QE2 was Castle Lady. And if that wire is another 10 yards, I thought she was in full flight just a little too late.
And Scott's the Keeneland correspondent. Has spent so much time there, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But it was quick, that turf, wasn't it?
It was quick, and there was no pace. I mean, Cambier Park, they allowed her to get out on the front
crazy,
end, and she just relaxed, and then that was the race. So it was an impressive run given the circumstances, no question about it.
But you're taking on a whole new group of horses? And
oh, no doubt. I mean, the stepping up three-year-olds versus older, I think that's a huge jump. I guess, especially against Sister Charlie. I mean, let's face it.
Going back to our last visit here, the three-year-old filly that beat Lady Eli, and you gave it out because you said specifically at the time.
Oh, I'd normally remember such a rare occurrence. But
well, because it was Shiverly Park and
Shiverly Park, yes, the Queen's Trust, the Michael Stout filly.
And you said they had not been here since they lost
the Horse of Grey Emotions. Yes, and exactly.
As a result, you thought there was extra reason the fact that they had come back.
Yeah.
And to me, this race is reminding me of that filly and mare turf, and Fanny Logan is the horse that I keep coming back to.
Well, here's the interesting thing. She's either the sixth or seventh best female in John Gosden's stable. Just get your head around that for the dominance that he has in top-level races, particularly with fillies and mares in Europe at the moment. So Enable, obviously, is the top of the pile. Then you got Starcatcher, the filly who won the Oaks, Annapurna, Medea, who was beaten in the Nassau Stakes. They are all rated higher than Fanny Logan. A Coronet. So there's five who are rated her superior in her own stable. Yet she's the coming force. She's young. She's on a roll. She loves firm turf. She needs to take a big old step forward. But it's got to be significant when Gosden's got that much depth in his yard and has a guide as to how good these fillies and mares might be, that he's running her here, Gina, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, she's been, as so many of his fillies are, so carefully campaigned as well. These fillies don't get overfaced. They don't run up against each other too soon. She's gone listed level up to group three. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that she could take that step forward. And obviously, for a man who knows this place so well and knows what it takes. I was just looking at the market. Fleeting is one of those horses that's just always
trouble trip.
She finds her own trouble. If she's got the chance to go past, I'm not convinced that she necessarily would, and yet she's still second favorite for this race. I guess in the absence of Magical, she's the one that people are thinking is Aidan's front runner to try and take on the American Challenge and Sister Charlie, but that's one horse I can't have for sure.
What about a horse that seems to be overlooked? And I thought that the Prix d'Opera winner, the Villa Maria Marina, I thought was worth talking about.
It was wretched ground that day. That's the only thing I'd say at Longchamp. It really was. It was.
Has she been limited though to getting over?
Well, this is going to be the quickest ground she's faced,
sure.
And I think it's quick enough back off a big effort as well.
Beaten Fleeting, who probably had every chance to go past her that day.
But that's a good point. You know, she's beaten Fleeting.
Yeah. She's kept good company.
Yeah, she should be a shorter price than
the pre-Bermeal as well.
Has always been a bit of give underfoot when she's run there. I think the worst, the best ground she's run, I should say, has been good ground. And good ground over there is probably for...
Well, we've actually got, for the first time ever, we've actually got a proper guide as to the relativity between European turf and American turf in terms of firmness of the surface, because the guys from Turf Tracks have been here and they've mapped the whole track here.
Nice.
Do we have a reading yet?
Yes, we do.
What do they
say? It's 11.0.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, right, okay, so the higher the number, the firmer the turf.
Okay.
And if you had good to firm ground, so what we would call quick ground in England, you'd never get a going stick reading higher than high eights, like 8.8, 8.9. Yeah, every course is a bit different.
So we've literally taken it to 11, Vic.
It is possible.
We have taken it to 11.
I think maybe Bath in the middle of summer, which is this high sort of altitude track in the
they have no
watering system, might get a 9.
Exactly, and I think 11 then is that asphalt or
yeah.
and 12 would be concrete.
And they color code it, and the whole map is just one color, and they're
That's
going,
really
oh,
funny.
It's consistent.
Well, I can remember, I asked Bill Mott years ago about coming out here. It must have been before a Breeders' Cup. I forget who the mare was. And he said the one thing about it, he said there is toehold. There is a nice little cushion to the top of this turf where a horse can get a hold of it. It's not impossible. It's not a paved field.
And it's a different, of course, it's a different type of grass because you're laying it down unnaturally, essentially, and
this is
it's not going to have
new,
the same root
this is
structure.
New grass
exactly.
That they put in,
they ripped
two
it up,
years ago.
Put it back in, yeah.
Yes.
And also, these cool mornings, there are quite heavy dews, and that's probably just making it a little more forgiving. Anyway, Europeans got a good record here. The reason I like Europeans coming to the turf here rather than Kentucky or anywhere else is because you know what you're going to get.
And
so you can handicap the races.
Well,
it's not as though you're going to get soft turf.
And Andy Serling said, in fact, like two, 3 weeks ago, Andy brought up the point that always remember that the majority of the Euros that are coming for firm turf, for turf they don't get at home.
Iridesa will be one that fits into that bracket for sure. Her best performances have come on when the ground comes up as firm as possible in her recent race record. She's won over a mile, so she's got plenty of speed, 10 furlongs as well, so she will get the trip. Joseph O'Brien obviously done so well with his international runners. She's won, I don't know, from stall one, I guess she doesn't need to go forward from there. She can take back and... It's not as important in this race.
Well, first of all, as you say, she's got mile pace, so you don't want to be using her too much to try and stretch her at 10. And the other thing about her is I'm not sure she does anything when she hits the front. I think she needs to be delivered
right on time.
Because she just, the ears prick and she just puts the brakes on when she hits the front a bit. She's very good. She won 3 grade ones.
Yeah, this Chantal Regalado Gonzalez, the owner, is just stumped up, I think, 300 grand yesterday at the horses in training sale at Tattersall's back home. So reinvesting, got plenty of good horses in there. Joseph O'Brien Yard, Patrick Sarsfield amongst them. So this horse flying the flag for her colours, and I think probably not to be underestimated, given she's a slightly bigger price here.
Tell us about Bilzadan Brook, who... has won 3 of the last 4 and is a bit of an unknown quantity. It seems like it's come to hand right on time.
Yeah, big powerful filly, won the 1,000 guineas last year at 66-1. So she is a classic winner. And she ran some sound races in defeat, but the more races she ran, the more you thought that guineas win was a bit of a, not a fluke, but a bit of a flash in the pan. Well, she went back to Newmarket in the Sun Chariot and she's come right back to Group 1 winning form. So she certainly deserves her place here. She looks very well. She's carrying her condition very well for a filly at this time of the year. And I really hope she runs well. But the problem is Richard Hannon's overseas exploits don't really do justice to the remainder of his excellent career.
Yeah, good point. And most of her form has come over a mile, so it's a different discipline she's going to have to go over today with stepping up to the 10 furlongs. She's one of those that when she came out and won at Newmarket, you think, oh, have we been in danger of underestimating this filly? But also I'd maybe question whether real fast turf is up her street as well. So there's a few question marks there.
Sean Levy.
Very talented rider. Started off in earnest riding for Aidan O'Brien as sort of fourth or fifth jockey and riding a lot of the pacemakers, very good judge of pace, sort of honed his craft there, came to England for more opportunities probably nearly a decade ago, I would say, and has been riding by and large for Richard Hannon ever since and is now getting the opportunities that his talent deserves. I'd have no bother about his ability to get the job done.
How old? 30?
How old would Sean 30s? Be? Mid-30s? Early 30s?
Yeah, early 30s, I'd say. He's been around a long time. He's a lot of experience and knows the horses, the Hannons, well.
I haven't seen him. Have we seen him in North America?
This is his first Breeders' Cup.
That's right. What I think. It was a new name for me. I all right. Give us a filly and mare selection.
Go on, Gina. You sounded quite sweet on Iridesa. If I was going to try and infer anything from what you just said.
Yeah, as you say, it sometimes doesn't pay to look past the obvious, though, and obviously Sister Charlie has a lot going for her. But we've got to stick with the Euros, so yeah, I'll make the case for Iridesa.
Iridesa.
And Joseph O'Brien always seems to pull it out of the fire when he needs one.
Yeah, I think Sister Charlie is the obvious choice. I like her more than I like Bricks and Mortar in the boys' race.
That's interesting.
She's one of those rare-ish North American turf horses that I always think, God, I wouldn't mind seeing you have a dart at some of ours back home, you know? Isha, half-sister to Sot's Ass, and we've seen what he's done this year.
Yeah.
Just, she's got it, and she's got a bit of presence as well. She's got a bit of physique, and you know, I really like her as a racehorse. The interesting one at a big price, I think, is Graham Ocean's filly who finished second to her last time,
Mississippi. Yeah. No, she's
now,
all
they
right.
They thought she was good in England, and she went bad and went wrong. They brought her here, and she's posted two fantastic efforts. No reason to think that she couldn't run well. And don't forget the trainer had a double entered in the turf.
Well, I would also...
What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, Scott?
She's got a big look. And look, Sister Charlie's going to take some beating in that race, no question about it. I'm going to have an across-the-board play on Basilica. I mean, just her consistency here at Santa Anita.
Yeah, it's hard to argue.
Her last race, last time out, was good. A mile's just a bit too sharp for her. I think that she's worth the roll of the dice. And she'll be a big price. I mean, you're not going to get that price. And, I mean, this is it for her, right? This will be her swan song.
Yeah. Well,
won't be a dry eye in the house.
Would be,
no doubt.
Would be delighted for her to do well. And you mentioned Graham Motion. Let's shift back to the juveniles and talk about the girls. What's wrong with the filly he brings to the juvenile filly turf, who is, again, one of the nicely bred entities in this entire weekend, Sharing, who I saw out there earlier this morning, and I caught my eye.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in the flesh yet, but he seems to like her. Obviously, with these horses at this stage of their career, there's going to be a huge variance in ability on show, and some of these horses a year down the track aren't going to be stakes horses, and others are going to be champions. You have to respect him because his horses tend to run well at Breeders' Cup meets, and he knows what he's got. So, on that basis alone, I'd be mildly interested. But I think the European group is okay here.
Speaking of Jessie Harrington with
Albania, she's the best.
She's the best of the group.
Yeah, she's the best. She's a Group One winner, and I thought she won in spite of the ground rather than because of it. And the previous run in Ireland, she was in season, so you can readily draw a line through that. They were excited about her going into that as well.
Interesting.
So, Gina probably knows more about her than I do, in all honesty.
Well, not really, but it's Shane Foley who's on board, first trip over here to the Breeders' Cup, so that'll be an exciting ride for him to pick up. Carl Burke's filly as well, up at the top, Living in the Past, is interesting. She sprung a bit of a surprise. She won the Group 2 Lowther in the summer at York, beating a very fast filly in Liberty Beach, who was very highly thought of, and she's since gone on and ran at the back end at Newmarket and finished sort of fourth or fifth. But, you know, she showed she's got plenty of speed that day. I just think the race over a mile is a bit of a question mark with her. Yeah, she's only run up to 7 so far, and I guess that is the only question mark. But she's she lines up for Clipper Logistics, who again have had a big week at the sales. They managed to sell a sale topper at the horses in training sale this week at Tattersall's for some 600 odd grand. So they got a bit of money to reinvest. They're on a roll.
That?
Hopefully they can pick up a bit of prize money here. But Carl's a very shrewd trainer and places his horses very well. So yeah, the question mark is the trip. But Dyer, as you say, has been targeted for this race by Roger Varian. Speaking to Fawzi Nass, who's been involved with the owners, and said she shipped in really well earlier this week. They're really pleased with how she's prepped for this race. And Roger plans his horse's targets meticulously, and there would have been no stone left unturned with this filly. She'd have been earmarked as particularly well-suited to the demands of Santa Anita here, and I'd say she's got a really good chance.
Yeah, I like, as I said, I like the fact that this has been her number one target.
You?
Sweet Melania. I hate to be the Keeneland guy over and over and over again, but
holy cow.
The way that she relaxed out on the front end and the way that she kicked on, I mean, it was seriously impressive from what we saw from her, the daughter of American Pharoah. I really think Sweet Melania's got a big look in there. And I think that Chad's horse will get over bet, and I think that she'll be a good price, and the folks will gravitate towards the euros we tend to in turf racing. I mean, she's 5-1 on the morning line. I think we probably get every bit of that.
If in any turf race here you can find a non-Chad, non-Euro that you like, just get stuck in, because
absolutely,
even if you're way wide of the mark, over time you will get paid, because your judgment will be right at some point, and you are going to get paid twice what you should be getting paid.
Yep. Do you like the Chad horse at all, Vic?
No.
I don't either. I don't think she's anywhere near what
has to improve yet again, and which is fine. And I'm not going to. This is not the type that he's typically done well with.
Right. Right.
I don't want to give short shrift to the classic, and you know, that is the feature of the weekend. Let's face it. And Nick, some thoughts?
First time I can remember really where I couldn't walk up here at this stage of the week and say I like X for the classic. My mind will change.
Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
It's an open race. It's, if you've got a view, then it's great, because you're going to get paid. But I'm coming around to thinking that Bill Mott's going to win it with one or the other.
That's what I did last night. I was the same way. I had to write a 500 word write up on the classic for TVG.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say the last piece I wrote about it, I sort of had Yoshida falling in by default, which is not to damn him with, well, it is to damn him with faint praise, actually, but it's, Bill Mott said in a good interview he did actually with Matt Chapman, who was interviewing him for Sky Sports, he said, he just has to run the race he ran last year and he'll be right there in the mix. And if they think his prep's been better and he's wheeling around to the right sort of form.
Yeah. I went a late. I just last night looking, I don't know, I know you've got the Thoroughgraph in front of you, Steve. I have not really had a chance to look at the Thoroughgraphs. I looked at the rags last night.
She's competitive.
The rags were incredibly fast on a late. I think she ran a 3. And McKinsey's running 2s and 3s, and that was a 3 off of a race where a lot of people are knocking her in the Judmont Spinster. I just think that the distance, the fact that he's been targeting this race for the last couple of years, he had to miss the Breeders' Cup. I think that she just keeps coming on in a race that will, at some point, horses are going to fall apart. McKinsey, I don't think a mile and a quarter is what he wants to do. I can't think of a Breeders' Cup Classic winner that came in with such a really a disappointing effort. You think of, look at back at the history of the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me of that group, the last one that you have on your list. I think it was 10 years ago, 99 was the one that I can
pleasantly
come up with.
Perfect or something like
who
that.
It was.
No, but Pleasantly Perfect came here off the back of a win.
But it was
probably,
just one of those
in the Goodwood.
There you go.
And
there
I just
go.
Think that, you know, the changes that they're making and things of that nature, I don't see it as a lot of positives. Obviously, it wasn't 10 years ago. Who the heck was it? It might have been the Volpone.
Volpone's possible.
You know, the only scenario in which I can see McKinsey winning is if he's the fastest away and he relaxes on or near the lead and isn't really ever in a competitive scenario, and he's managed and the others just don't really land a blow on him. I think if any horse lands a blow on him,
I think
that's why I don't fancy
the four horses lining up shoulder to shoulder,
yeah, exactly,
that all want to be part of the pace.
Well, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yes.
So
exactly.
I think Noble Mission's got to, I mean, same thing. Distance isn't going to be an
issue. You mean Code of Honor?
Or Code of Honor. Excuse yeah. me. Code of Honor, yeah. I mean, I think that he's got as much of a chance as anybody in here.
It's funny. If he wins, then everybody, not that everybody doesn't bow down to Shug now because he's the greatest, but everything has gone wrong. Shug has been kicking himself
with the workout and everything.
Not yeah. just that workout. It was even a workout prior to that because he was waiting for Johnny, and then it threw everything off. They ended up 2 weeks in a row, two workouts in a row on a wet track. It's been a disaster, and Shug has really beaten himself up over what how the thing unfolded.
Isn't Code of Honor going to win the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland in 2020?
That would be certainly the plan that Mr. Farish has laid out.
Yeah. I think they would take it here, though.
Yeah,
They would. Well, and it's funny you say that, because, of course, the Mineshaft experience, where it was an afterthought.
Exactly.
And then they
never made it.
Right. And they were upset that they, and this feels like, there's parallels to that that's been brought out already.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't, who's going to be surprised if Shug, if Shug pulls it off, right?
It'd be nice as well, wouldn't it? I mean, sure. Given that he was involved in defeat in one of the great Breeders' Cup Classic finishes of all time. And
he's been involved, really, the breadth of his career is overlaid into the Breeders' Cup.
Three generations of the same family all winning?
It's unbelievable.
He's not done. And a heroic second in the Classic.
Yeah, he's not, and he's not retiring anytime soon.
Trainers don't retire, Steve.
That's true.
No such thing.
I'm going to bring Frank in to close out the morning, but favorite price of the 2 days?
Favorite price of the 2 days?
You usually nail this for us.
I've got one. Come Dancing in the Filly Mare Sprint.
Here's a horse. This is a bit of a gate contingent. It's a big price, though. Alligator Alley in the Juvenile Turf Sprint.
All right.
Unfortunately... There's not going to be much liquidity to bet in running here anyway. But he's a horse who, if he hits the gate okay, just okay, he's got loads of talent, like loads of ability.
Over what happened to him last time, though.
I think he bounced.
He had a problem in the stalls, apparently, as well, though.
There's three times he screwed around in the gate. If he can get himself out and they gate schooled him, then he's a player. He really is. I'm sure he bounced off a big effort at York, where he had to make up loads of ground on a fast surface. I'd be bounced at Doncaster, I'm sure of it.
What time's your show over?
It's that kind
9
of race.
O'clock.
Right.
We've got to get the mirror man in here, right?
All right, what about Gina, though? Who's your price of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to delve in more detail in the coming days, but in the turf sprint, I'd love to see Frankie in the winner's enclosure, so I'll give it a chance with A.R.Lee for Simon Crisford.
That's not a price, though. He's going to be like second choice. That's your banker of the weekend.
Okay, and a big price? Iridesa's a big price.
Okay, 8-1.
So we'll take
Iridesa
on Sister Charlie.
Iridesa, I love it. Gina, how can...
So much.
Thank you. How do people follow you on...
At Gina Bryce on Twitter, B-R-Y-C-E. And, yeah, we're looking forward to the week.
Look forward to having you on again. Nick Luck, as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Nick.
Round it out with the man who knows most about this place.
Oh, come on now. Always a pleasure.
Scott Hazelton, everybody,
love
as
you,
well.
Man.
And here's Frank Miramati. Thank you. Have a great broadcast. And the last, but far from least, Frank Miramati. Good morning.
Good morning, my dear friend. Welcome to the greatest race place.
It could not be more pleasant. It could not be greater to be here. And talk about an opportunity to call a Breeders' Cup.
It's beyond belief to me, and so grateful, so reflective. We're standing in the section that I watched Winning Colors put away Goodbye Halo and everyone else in the Santa Anita Oaks. And I was at the first Breeders' Cup with my dad. I was chatting with Steve Anderson of the Racing Forum about that the other day. When Beholder and Songbird came for the wire, I was in the TSA line getting a second opinion to fighting colon cancer on the East Coast at Memorial Sloan Kettering. I was about to have my second surgery. And so to know that 3 years later I get to call the Breeders' Cup, these are things that are incomprehensible to me. And I'm just so grateful and soaking it all in and ready to rock and roll. Watching these horses up close, this morning, seeing all the people, the fans, the horsemen, and it's what it's all about. The Breeders' Cup is as good as it gets, and my top priority is to try to stay calm. That's all. Last week, I felt like I was doing my final workouts, and there was a mile race, and I said, "Wow, that would have been a C-plus work." So I was, you just want to stay focused and do the right thing and do right by the horses and the connections and the fans. That's it, man. It's all about just getting up there and living the dream and enjoying it. You know, look, a lot of people like myself and everyone, we're working, so you're working. It's as much fun as it is, it's a lot of work. And so I can't help but understand that this is a great moment for me to enjoy. At the same time, it's a tremendous responsibility. A lot of strange names here. we'll do the best we can, and just I can't put it into words, but it's a great moment, and there's so much to think about.
Did you, growing up, how many the ones out here, those early ones?
I really didn't come to many. I came to the first one, and I was not at another Breeders' Cup for a long, long time. That's the crazy part about it. I was here for Zenyatta. That was 10 years ago. That was the greatest sporting event I had ever attended. I was among those crying in the stands. I remember John Harris had...
I was crying for another reason, actually.
Who did you need, Giovanni?
Anybody else.
Oh, okay. I understand. All but... yep. People were giving John White a tough time for making Zenyatta the morning line favorite that year. I don't know where those critics are today, but it was a great day and a great moment. And for me... Santa Anita is just so special. The days I took the bus here as a kid with old men in there trying to ask one of them to play dad so we could go under the turnstile. And now to watch. I'm looking forward to the sprint so much. Yeah. What a race. What a race the sprint is. And beware of Catalina Cruiser late there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stone-cold runner. And now he's at home. And I regard John Sadler as one of the best trainers of sprinters all time. When you look back at the early stages of his career.
It's interesting.
He was Olympic prospect, Frost Free, Melair, there was a track gal. He used to win all those races. And now he's become so diverse in what he has, turf, Breeders' Cup Classic, everything. But for me, Steve, it's all about being open-minded to what's happening. My opinions are meaningless. Just want to see what happens and do justice for this great moment at Santa Anita. And I know you've had a plethora of guests having a great time here. And
always.
Who's the buzz horse? Who's the big...
There wasn't really... There was not a lot of buzz until even this morning, to be honest. I don't have... Honestly, I think people are very much open to the way the races and the weekend is going to unfold. I mean, Nick Luck was just with us, and Nick says he's got... He does not remember going into a classic, for instance, where he does not have a firm opinion of any kind, and that it'll just the opinion will form itself over the next 36 hours.
It's going to be great, and I've never seen Baffert smile the way he did after that work for McKenzie the other day. He's not usually one to be all excited after work. He looks over the moon. Maybe he'll pay the ultimate tribute to his dear friend Brad McKenzie.
Well, that's the emotional story going in, and of course
the other story is the eighth pole right here in that final furlong, right? That's what he's got to get, and he's got to prove he can do it at the biggest stage.
Well, he just fell short to Giftbox earlier in the year, and if he had won that, we wouldn't have heard. If he wins that photo, which was like this, we wouldn't even be discussing his ability to get 10 panels.
Right, it's crazy.
Right?
It's really amazing, and if he wins last time, as opposed to how many horses, that's a thing to look at for your future shows. How many horses win their last race before the big one?
Well,
a lot of times they just kind of peak on the big day.
Now, Frank, you'll peak on the big day. Not worried about that.
Appreciate you, my man.
The Mirror Man himself, Frank Miramati, everybody.
Shout out to John Parada right here. We have to just give
absolutely
him one of those. No other words needed. Just a shout out to John Parada.
JP. Rick Hammerly will join us tomorrow as the co-host the last couple of days. We'll wish Frank the best of luck. We'll thank everybody. Fanny, was it not Fanny? Gina Bryce. Fanny Bryce. Fanny Bryce, right? It makes perfect sense. Gina Bryce, Scott Hazelton, Nick Luck. Earlier there were a bunch of people through here. Kelly Riley and Sid Fernando and more. I can't remember it all. Replay 6 to 9 tomorrow. Pete was going to be with us, but we're going to save him for tomorrow. P4 to Talon, so much more. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.